Saga Egmont presents The Polyglot Lovers by Lina Wolf. Translated from Swedish by Saskia Fogel. And read by Sophia Engstrand. Part 1. Elinor. Hearts can break. Yes, hearts can break. Sometimes I think it would be better if we died when they did. But we don't. Stephen King. Chapter 1. When trying to find the one, I'd never thought the internet would be my thing. There was something commercial about it, not to mention I'd never written a personal ad, or anything else for that matter, and had no idea how to sell myself in writing. My boyfriends had always been regular guys from my village. The first one, for instance, was called Johnny, and there was nothing special about him at all. At least, not on the surface. At least, not until it became clear that he was in fact sick. We were in the same class at school, and it started with him saying, "Is there anything you've always dreamed a man would do for you?" I guess he'd heard it in a movie, and in all seriousness, already actually thought he was a man. And I suppose he wasn't expecting the answer I gave him, but something more like, "Yes, I've always wished for a man who could make me lose my mind in bed." Or a concrete wish that would help him along. But I said, "I've always wanted to be taught how to fight." And when he didn't look as surprised as I'd thought he would, I added, "Fight like a motherfucker." Johnny nodded slowly, spat on the ground, and said, "If that's what you want, doll." That very night, he took me to what he called his fight club. It was a bunch of people who'd seen and been inspired by the movie. But unlike the people in the film, they actually practiced various martial arts and met up 3 times a week to fight. Everyone went up against everyone else. You had to go into a basement beneath a school. It had tiles that faded from brown to orange. A strange matte tile that didn't behave as tile usually does, but seemed to absorb every sound. From there, you went deep inside a series of corridors. Everyone was dead silent, barefoot, and had bags full of gym clothes slung over their shoulders. Only the fans made a noise. Then you entered the room, and there they were, the people from our village who wanted to fight. A temporary captain was appointed, and we all warmed up together. Everyone was flexible, even the guys, and no one was ashamed of showing that they could do forward or side splits. People farted loudly, stretched out like that, but not laughing was an unwritten rule. Then we fought. I was the only beginner and had one thing going for me. I was scared to death. "Being scared to death gives you an edge," Johnny said. Being really fucking afraid had some hidden benefits. The body was smarter than you thought, and when you let it run on autopilot, it was capable of almost anything. But then you had to take control. "Most people aren't angry because they get attacked. They're angry because they can't defend themselves," Johnny said. Johnny could do more than fight. He could shoot, too. We used to visit a firing range on the way from our village to the next. We walked around wearing orange earmuffs, watching the people shooting handguns, and then the ones shooting rifles. Johnny showed me how to take a wide stance, lift the rifle, and nail a clay pigeon. First in a simulator, and then in real life. One day, he said I was ready. He could take me hunting now. He talked a lot about that hunt before we went. How you had to go after dark, use your night vision, and keep real quiet the whole time. Only one shot was fired the time I joined the hunters, at a wild boar. The shot cracked the silence, and you could hear the boar still running, not like before, but clumsily, branches breaking around it, and in the end limping and confused, as if it knew it was going to die.